Now, another important part of this characteristic is that a resilient community can learn from and build on past experiences. So, for example, a community who has previously dealt with issues around land tenure insecurity, perhaps eviction, will be more knowledgeable and better able to choose more secure sites for relocation. So the second characteristic, a resilient community is organised. The research found that communities value functioning community-based organisations to be able to address the risks that they face. These organisations provide internal cooperation and communication. So a community could organise collectively to identify the challenges that they're facing in relation to land tenure. So these challenges might be inability to connect to formal service networks, water, wastewater. It may be that they're being charged exorbitant rents by criminal groups. But the residents collectively can take more effective action. So they may be able to lobby government groups, meet with service providers. So as a group, they're more resilient. So helping communities to identify and form these organisations, particularly focused on land tenure, can help to build their resilience. So the third characteristic, a resilient community is connected. So this implies that it has relationships with external groups. And these external groups can provide technical advice, support, or even the supply of goods and services, if needed. Communities consider assistance from outside of the community as a really important aspect to reducing risk and vulnerability. So in relation to land tenure, these relationships could be with non-government organisations, could be with local government, or could be with neighbouring communities. So communities may be able to get assistance from these organisations in potentially reforming their land tenure situation, or it might be that they will get support from them should they be evicted in terms of rebuilding or relocation. So helping communities identify connections as well as make those connections can help build their resilience. So the fourth characteristic, a resilient community has infrastructure and services. So it's not only that these communities have strong infrastructure, such as housing, transport, power, water, sanitation, but really importantly, that they're able to maintain, repair and renovate them. In a lot of communities dealing with land tenure insecurity, they may struggle to connect. They may rely on illegal water or electricity connections. So the ability to maintain and repair those connections themselves definitely builds their resilience and makes them less vulnerable. It's obviously also very important after, for example, shock, eviction or damage caused by eviction processes, that they're able to rebuild their own home and their own infrastructure. It means that they don't have to wait for external organisations, potentially NGOs or government, to help them rebuild. So helping communities to gain those skills around infrastructure will help them to be more resilient. The fifth characteristic is that a resilient community has economic opportunities. So by this, we mean that it has different employment options. It has income sources and options for financial services. A community who can, for example, a community who is living adjacent to a garment factory and that might be their main source of income, if they are then evicted and need to move, the ability to be able to look for other sources of employment makes them incredibly less vulnerable to that situation. So having a range of employment options is certainly beneficial, and providing livelihood training is something that we can do to help build community's resilience. Having access excess income or savings is obviously also something that reduces community's vulnerability to shocks and stresses, meaning they have resources to deal with events that occur. All right, and the last one is a resilient community can manage its natural assets. Now, a lot of urban communities question whether that's applicable to their community, and I think it's important to recognise that natural assets are within the ground that we walk on. You know, a community who's able to protect and therefore use its groundwater, for example, is incredibly less vulnerable than one that needs to rely on formal connections to water services. So this is about recognising the value of its natural environment, having the ability to protect, enhance and maintain that environment. So I think by providing, for example, mechanisms to prevent contamination of water, which indirectly can be done through dealing with waste, we can help build communities' resilience. Applying that framework and looking at the characteristics, I think that we can, you know, we've shown that a resilient community is one that definitely is better able to prepare, prevent, respond to, recover from the shocks and stresses that can be caused by land tenure insecurity. Thank you very much, and welcome any comments or questions.